Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show.
First one in April. Happy spring again.
Oh, yeah.
Today actually feels a little more like spring than usual. That's nice.
So we all survived April Fools. You rolled your eyes like, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I did. It's just that I did one prank on my daughter.
Did you?
And Care 2 had some funny stuff. Did you go on the website? Care 2 had some funny cards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I sent her one that says, "Congratulations, you have now been subscribed to the Cheese of the Month Club."
Oh, how cheesy.
$9.95 a month. And it was Roquefort Stinky Cheese.
So. Oh, my favorite.
That was kind of funny. I almost sent it to you because I know of your love of cheese.
And love of cheese. So anyway, you're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Mizar.
And Green Diva Gina. Hello.
And our Green Diva Jamie is back, although she's in the other room helping us.
Applause.
Yay. And the crowd cheered. Helping us with our tech a little bit. We've got some backup recording and fun. So we have a very busy, fun show today. Let me just tell you. First of all, we're doing a special segment. I had a little brain fart last week. I was like, I was drinking my tea, and I was thinking, like, where does this tea really come from? You know, I know it comes from over there somewhere.
Out there somewhere.
So I got the Green Divas here together, and we all joined in, did a little research to research a few different types of Earl Grey tea. To compare where they come from, how they're grown, are they fair trade? What does that mean? And anyway, so we did a big post. We're going to talk about that. That's our special report today. And then Green Dude today, EcoEd's out on the road. So we have guest Green Dude Seth Lightman.
He's like everything you want to know about green cars.
Yeah.
Doing, greening, painting, green.
The green living guy.
Yeah.
And he's written a book called Build Your Own Electric Vehicle.
Yeah.
Really?
Doesn't he have another one coming out? Were we talking about that in Detroit for a while?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We met him in Detroit. And then our feature interview is with Betsy Eskendon. I don't know how to say her name right. I'm probably massacring it. But she's Betsy Eco Novice. She's a blogging green mama who's all about going green gradually.
Because it can be daunting.
Yeah. And I love, we haven't really done a lot of green parenting lately. So this is kind of fun. You know, I can relive my youth.
I know why. It's because we both have adult children.
Yeah. I have grandbabies now.
Well, see, now you should be thinking about it as well.
I'm back on the,
Okay, very good.
The trail. And then we've had a lot. I think it's because it's like Earth Day month that we've been offered a lot of products to play with. And while we're not all about consumerism and products, it is a little fun once in a while. So I started saying yes to some of these things, and I got myself these amazing little shoes from a company called Taisha, People in Nature.
They're really cute shoes, too.
Aren't they adorable?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll be taking a picture of those. They're like these little slippers made out of, and what do you call that? I'm looking for the... You know,
they look like it's cotton or some kind of a muslin canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're handmade, and they're just doing all this great stuff for women and the ecosystem. And I will wear them and write all about them.
Okay.
We've got a couple of books.
Yeah, Zero Waste Home. This one's for me, B. Johnson, because, you know, I always reuse.
All right, so you'll take that one.
It's very basic, but it seems to really give you the outline for really just taking what... Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, you saw something fun?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Feminine products. I'm not so sure where to go with that one. But
anyway,
I'm flipping through it here, folks, so... I'm going to look at it.
So we have to divide and conquer. So, okay, you're taking that one.
Yes.
I'm going to try this cookbook.
Yes, the specific... carbohydrate diet.
Yeah, I was looking, flipping through. I just got these, so I haven't cooked any of them yet. But looking through, and I saw a lot of interesting recipes, and I think it'll be good for me.
Well, I think it's good for everybody. But you know, the thought occurred to me as I was flipping through it before we went on the air was that, you know, I learned to cook one way a long time ago, watching Mama in the kitchen, It's, you know, the olive oil and the homemade pasta, and that's how my mother
and
cooked.
And the garlic.
And all the garlic, yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So this is, it's not thick, it's not an imposing book. It's a good way to probably start looking at different ways to cook. I mean,
yeah.
Not that you can't teach
right.
old dogs.
Right. Yeah. Woof, me too.
Right.
Yeah.
New tricks. But it's nice to have something that's illustrated and very basic with which to start.
It's well laid out.
Yes.
And they have a lot of recipes for converting cashews into, which is, as you know, one of my things.
Yes.
I make a lot of cashew cheese and yogurt and things. And she does a lot of that and how to cook without grains, but make, she has a lot of bread recipes
right.
and things. So
well, people with celiac disease
yeah.
and Crohn's disease, they can't be eating that
I
stuff.
Mean, you can eat rice, but like you can overdo it with rice.
Right.
And now there's arsenic in rice. So, you know,
it's
yeah, always
we
something.
About that. We did.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. And then I think Nomi Lyons
mm-hmm.
Is going to be calling us from Canada to talk about something. I don't know. Whatever she's going on there. She's our Green Diva correspondent today. Yeah,
Canada.
Yeah. So what
we
else?
Have
didn't
lots
you
of names.
Didn't you get some wine to review?
Oh my gosh, Megan, I did. This was a Chilean wine.
She's
that
our
we
Green
received.
Diva wino.
Oh yes, and I'm proud of it. I will wear that badge proudly. And I got three bottles Tuesday morning. Four red, one white. The white's in the fridge. And as it happened, my daughter's
they sent you like a whole case.
Four bottles.
Nice.
You know.
Oh, well, whatever. Yeah.
It was nice. I didn't expect them that fast, but it was nice because while I had wine for this little dinner party that I had planned for my daughter, Antares' boyfriend, Tyler's parents, Jeffrey and Sharon Gulick.
Okay.
First time they were at the house just formally.
Meet the parents.
Well,
we had
yeah.
met them at each other's graduation parties, you know, yeah. because they both graduated Rutgers in May, last May. But we, it was sort of an impromptu thing. I invited them over Skype.
Oh, this is
All
getting
right.
serious,
so
huh?
So to make a long story short, you know what, Megan? I got a little nervous because Jeff is kind of a funny guy, very quick-witted. And he goes, yeah, Antares, I know exactly where you're getting married. It's this place in Essex County, New Jersey. And I'm like going, what?
What? Catch mama up.
Yeah, Noel. It's a very beautiful place. But needless to say, I said, great. It's not just going to be me and Antonio tasting the wines. It'll be me, Tyler, Jeff, Sharon, Antares, the five of us. They were really...
What's the name of the wine?
Really good. Yeah. Oh, come on. Don't put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
Well, I am...
It's Chilean, you
it's
said?
It's from Chile. It okay. is organic wine from organic farms, obviously, or vineyards in Chile. And if you look at your emails, Megan,
okay. yeah.
you'll have it. But
okay.
you know what? We'll post it. They were out of this world. The first one had maybe more tended towards dessert, but I didn't. I'm going to use a double negative here. I also liked it with appetizers. It was kind of a, I don't know, fruity. I'm going to write the whole thing up
okay.
for you.
And, okay, good.
And we really, really enjoyed them. So I have to thank those folks. And then speaking of wine, I also got a new app called Slow Wine 2013.
Oh, cool.
And you can buy a hardcover book at $25, and then the app is $8.99. But it tells you everything and anything you want to know about, in my case, I do Italian wines, regions,
really?
Vintners, types of grapes.
See, every time I just see a press release that has to do with wine, I just forward it to you.
That's right. Because I am...
It's working.
I'm telling you, I'm happy. I'm happy to taste wine anytime. So we'll get more on that later on, too. That was fun.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right.
And then
what's this in front of me? We got some kind of skincare products, and I can't reach them.
Yeah, I know.
Again, that's a loaded question because you know what I want to answer, right?
I know.
Yeah, okay. No, because one is kind of green and slimy, and I...
Well, it looks a little limey, you know, green.
It looks a little like boogers on a bad day, you know? But it's a cleanser, so you take that off.
You so did that whole, like, put it in your hands and
I
pretended to sneeze.
I did.
And it was disgusting.
It was. And
so,
it's so me.
Sorry to this company, Derma Earth, because actually the stuff smells wonderful.
I can't wait to try it.
I haven't looked at the ingredients list, but in theory, They're,
it looks good.
Yeah,
looks it looks good. Good. And the I just, you know, if it does things to help my wrinkles, because they're kind of popping out of the.
So we have a whole bunch of skincare stuff, and we keep talking about this. And I know
the Weleda
and
too,
we also have, I think it's Weleda, and then we have Resting in the River coming in. From Marsha Mason's farm, biodynamic.
Oh yeah, she's herb out farm. West, southwest, yeah. Right?
So once that comes in, we're gonna start having fun.
More fun.
More fun.
Yeah.
Because we're already having fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to test these products.
Because in fact, we are fun.
Right? Yeah.
And just so,
well, anybody who says brain fart on the air is fun, right, Matt?
Yeah. Automatically
categorized as fun. You can find us for people who want to know. How to find us on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show. Follow us, like us, comment. I try to remember during the show to go see if anybody's, you know, chiming in.
I should do that.
And, of course, the blog, thegreendivas.com.
That's our website. Green Divas. The website, right?
Yep, website, blog, the whole thing.
I think we have to update that website a little bit.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
Listen, when can I schedule, between which breath? The breath in the first breath in the morning or the last one at night?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
If we had any budget, there are people who could probably do it really well.
I think if we get a tech-savvy intern who wants to buffer up his or her resume.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a really nice young man named Adam, and I don't have his last name written in front of me, this week. Through somebody volunteered, he was in Minnesota. The guy called me for, like, nope, you know, just because a friend said, hey, you know, this woman needs help.
Because my Google. Yeah.
And he called me up. He was homesick. He called me up, and I said, look, I need help. It's a long story, but I needed help with the Google Analytics thing wasn't showing up, and it was causing trouble, and, you know.
Yeah. You were having, yes.
Anyway, this nice young man, like, you know, just chimed in, and, of course, it took him, like, 3 minutes. You know,
you mean he did it for you?
Like 4 solid weeks of banging my head against the wall,
my.
And this guy's like, 3 minutes. Oh, that was easy. So anyway, wow. Yeah, there are some cool, nice, generous.
Do you
nice
have
people.
His info to contact again? Because I really think that it would be worth our while.
Yeah, I do, actually. I just don't have it in front of me. And I meant to give him a really good shout out because he was really nice.
Adam, we're thinking about you.
Adam, I hope I even got his first name right because, you know. You know how
oh,
I am.
My word.
You know how I am.
Yeah.
And I have to turn off the email here because it just rings through the whole show.
Yes.
Right? It goes mm-hmm. bling,
yep.
bling,
yep.
bling.
Yep.
So anyway, meanwhile, if anybody wants to chat with us or ask questions of anybody that's calling in, chime in on Facebook.
I'm going there right now.
Right in front of me. And also, you know, follow us on Twitter. I'm starting to get a little bit more Twitter savvy, aren't I?
Yeah, for sure. You post frequently.
Well,
you know, it's good.
Gina would know because she's one of those young techie people. And at org Green Divas, ORG Green Divas is our group, you know, the Green Divas radio show. And then there's me personally at Green Diva Meg. And I have, you know how it is. I have like Hootsuite plugged in and it's like it's,
so you can double
it's like
post.
This dashboard. Yeah,
yep.
I can really have a part. And you can pre-schedule.
Yep.
That is the most dangerous thing of all. Because you can like I got 2 accounts posting alternately, mm-hmm. and it's really working.
But
I'm
that gives you
fun.
A lot more clout. You know, we're talking a while back about clout and how the more you post, the more like publicity you get.
Really?
For yourself, yeah.
But what
come
about
up in searches
what about,
more?
What about Tumblr? Because I just discovered
I've never done Tumblr.
That my Pure2O, my company, uh-huh. has a Tumblr account.
Okay.
And. We also have a YouTube channel, but now, of course, there's not a whole lot there. But
well, there will be.
Does Hootsuite link
yes.
all of that?
Yeah, it does. It does a lot of the, yeah.
I believe also does Pinterest and Foursquare.
LinkedIn is in there.
LinkedIn.
Facebook is in there. Instagram.
Yep.
You can monitor all those things.
Which makes it a lot easier.
It does.
Instead of logging into, you know, 3 or 4 different things, you're just logging into Hootsuite.
My brain is exploding.
Well, mine, I did a long time ago. Sad but true.
Okay, hold on. This I can do. How do you spell Hootsuite?
H-O-O-T.
S-U-I-T-E?
Yeah, one word.
Okay, you see?
Yeah, you got
that
it.
Easy.
That college degree paid off after all.
Her parents are proud.
Oh, dadgum.
Well,
all right.
Now, I just want to mention that Gina has her own radio show, Eco Radio, every week at Drew University on Monday nights.
Monday nights. If you go to WMNJ.com, it streams live in a podcast. And from 9 to 10, we just talk about a variety of different ways to stay green. It's basically, like we were saying before on our show, my co-host Shanna and I, we say, like, we just want to be fabulous like the Green Divas. Your show is a great outlet and a great resource for us, and we follow a lot of different blogs.
Excellent.
And a lot of different
That's
radio
so
shows.
That's so flattering, isn't
that
it?
That is very flattering, and I think we need to be a guest on your show.
Oh, we'd love for you to.
Monday nights.
Wouldn't
what
that
do
be
you
fun?
Do?
Well,
we have an official studio. It's all soundproof
and beautiful. I'm sure it's a little bit more,
beautiful.
It's more egg crates than we have in here, but I think we sound pretty good.
Yeah, we do.
But you
we
know
do
what?
Right.
We'll go to dinner in Madison. They have some pretty nice restaurants there. One of my two of my favorite restaurants.
Do you like the Italian one,
Garlic,
Sean?
The Garlic Rose.
Mondovecchio.
Yeah.
That is a great... No, Garlic Rose, not to malign Garlic Rose, was not my favorite.
Okay.
But Mondovecchio.
Good place.
Number one. It's not even on the pricey side. It's a little pricier than Garlic Rose or... Mm-hmm. What is that one?
54 Main?
54 Main.
That's more that like one. A bar kind of place.
Is that the one on the right up from the Garlic Rose? No, it's something 33. Anyway, people in
Soho
Idaho.
Soho 33?
Yes.
Okay.
People in Idaho don't know what we're talking about, but at any rate, that...
well, they should. Like, you know, Madison, New Jersey is the center of the universe, right?
Really, all they need to know about is Mondovecchio.
Right,
I think
that's
in
great.
General.
So we'll go to dinner there first, Maggie. Mm-hmm. Right, we can even take the girls if they want to come, and then we'll go do radio.
Yeah, can't do Garlic Rose before you're all trapped in a radio station.
Yeah,
studio,
that's true.
Right?
But if we all eat garlic, then
it
doesn't really matter.
Then it's just overwhelming.
Still no kissing allowed.
No kissing.
Oh no, we'd love to have you on. We have a couple extra mics and some comfy chairs, and you know, we had a donor who gave us this awesome studio because for the longest time we were in the basement of a really sketchy dorm.
Really?
Sketchy dorm.
Drew University has a sketchy dorm.
Yeah. We have the first green dorm, though.
Really?
Which is really great. Yep.
Yep.
It's called McClendon, and it was built two or three years ago. And they have, like, sustainability charts, and every day it maps how much energy it saves. A lot of solar power going on.
Very
Eco
cool.
Ed would love it. It'd be, like, up his alley.
Yeah, very
up
cool.
Up his Eco Ed alley.
Yes.
That's funny.
He'd love it.
There's a joke in there. There's a joke in a lot of things. I bite my tongue so many times
during
this show.
Don't bother because, you know, we're all about...
But my mother listens.
Oh, your mama.
She's used to it.
Yeah.
She really is. After 25 years on TV with, like, you know, really having to temper my enthusiasm, some stuff did get out.
Okay. Nomi's calling my cell phone. So would you do me a favor and hand that over to...
Well, she can come in here. Are you listening, Green Diva Jamie? Come on in here, because we're going to have to call her back on the other phone.
All right.
Well, now she's in Canada?
Yeah.
What part of Canada?
She's in the West Coast, in a little island, and every...
Oh, yes, we've spoken to her before.
And I forget the name of the island every time the woman calls.
But it's near Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Hey, Nomi.
Hi, Meg.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, so good to hear your voice. How's
good
everything
to hear
out?
Your voice too.
How's everything out in now? Tell me the name of the island again.
Salt Spring Island.
Thank you. I knew there was a spring in there. I'm making progress.
Yes. Well, you have lots of people to keep track of, I'm sure.
Well, I just have a pretty bad memory. But aside from that, you mentioned in your email that you had some interesting things to talk to us about.
Well, we've had, I've been quite busy. Along with gardening up a storm, I've got a ton of tomato plants and kale coming out of my ears.
Already? On the west coast of Canada?
Oh, yes. I started them in February, and I have a south-facing window, so I just basically cover them in plastic and keep the heat on, and they're about 3 inches high.
Good for you.
Mine are a couple inches high, and I have to do something with them soon because they're getting too high, but I'll be quiet now.
Okay.
You know what you can do if you put them out in the garden is take gallon milk cartons, cut the bottom off, and then stick them over top of each of the plants so they don't get the rain, which they don't like too much of, but they still get a little bit, and they still get light.
Oh, all right. Okay, very
Thank
good.
You. It's like a little cloche.
I'm going to write that
so
down.
So the other thing that we had was a resilience fair We had Rob Hopkins, who is the founder of the Transition Movement, the Worldwide Transition Movement.
Right, right.
He videotaped a special message for us for Salt Spring, and he talked about the fact that we have our own currency. I'm noticing lots of places are doing that, having a different currency.
Yeah, a barter system, right? Like a...
Well, not just a barter system, but actual money. In fact, Bristol has its own money, and I guess the Queen went there. The Queen went to visit and looked at the money and said, "Ew, why is my picture not on it?"
Oh dear,
that's funny.
What a travesty!
Yeah,
I've heard
Bristol
about this.
And Brighton apparently both have their own money, and as do we here on Salt Spring. And what it does is just sort of keeps the money a little bit more local.
Yeah, I like it. I really like it.
It's wonderful. It's a really interesting concept. It's sort of helping take away some of the power that the banks used to have.
Oh, that's listen.
Can't
I'm all
do enough
for
that.
Oh
yeah.
Man, I am so all for that. But I guess the first thing that came to my mind is you keep the money local, which means people will be shopping locally.
Exactly.
Oh, brilliant!
It's a really nice way to stimulate local economy.
Yeah,
and keep it local. I know the Berkshires did it a few years ago. Berkshire Bucks.
Green Diva money. Green Diva dollars.
Green Diva dollars.
Come
there
on.
You go.
We
got to trademark that right now.
I'm putting it on. Green Diva dollars, and your face on one side and mine on the other. I love that. Oh my word! Okay.
Jamie and I could be hidden in the flowers.
Yeah. See, that's what it'll look like.
Sunflowers.
Exactly.
See what you started, Nomi?
Pardon me?
See what you started?
Great. I'm excited.
Yeah, so tell
me. And I didn't start it. It was, we've had Salt Spring dollars for a number of years, and I guess Rob Hopkins actually sent away for some of them. What he does for a lot of the transition events that happen globally, and there's over, I think, 4,000 communities now that are, even L.A. has its own... its own sort of community. And everyone sort of calls them a little bit different. Vancouver is, has got one, and Victoria, this is on the West Coast. And I'm not sure about your area, but I would assume that there's something there.
Well, I know, like I said, in the Berkshires, I know there's Berkshire Bucks, and it did incorporate a barter system as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I really like.
Yeah, I like that too. The only problem with that is the governments really frown on it because then they don't get a cut.
And too darn bad.
Yeah,
hold
bad.
On. Where's that violin? Hold on. I'm going to go play it right now. Really? No, even smaller than that.
I know.
Smaller? Even smaller than that.
You've got wine on the brain. It was almost sommelier.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Very funny.
The other thing that, one of the other things that happened at the transition fair is that we had a number of groups. There was probably about close to 40 different groups on the island talking up the recent activities and benefits that they've brought to the community. For instance, we've gotten a local abattoir. You know what an abattoir is?
No.
An abattoir is basically where they slaughter animals for consumption.
Oh, bummer.
And although I'm a vegetarian, although newly eating chicken, because it's local and organic, and I know it's been raised well. It was they start off in this lady's living room, actually. They have quite a comfortable life, and they have quite a long life.
Start off in her living room. Nice.
Yeah. So I've just started eating chicken, which is, I have to admit, I'm enjoying it. But if you are a meat eater, most places, certainly in Canada and the States, the meat is shipped to central places to be
processed.
Slaughtered.
Yeah.
So you're not only paying for that extra transportation, including, you know, the high carbon emissions for transporting the animals, but you're also eating that fear and anxiety that the animal exhibits.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So having something local is such a boon to the economy, as well as it's less expensive for the farmers and the meat raisers.
Oh, I so want to talk about this more, because I am with you on this, and I've talked about it locally, but I have to hang up because we're off our schedule a little bit, and we're really, really tight today. So
okay, no worries.
We will post about this on the web, and thank you so much for calling, Nomi.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And we're going to get more talked about someday soon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Yeah.
Hi there. Sorry about that.
Hey. What's going on?
We're just having way too much fun, and we're running late, so I apologize. And just for folks who weren't listening before, Seth Lightman, who's the author of Build Your Own Electric Vehicle and Other Things, he's a blogger, a radio show guy, a TV guy. He's the Green Living guy. Okay. I take a breath.
Oh, yeah. All good. But
take
Seth, this is
okay.
Mizar. Good to talk to you again, Seth. But you've got another book coming out, too, right?
We got one coming out soon, and when the details are on, I promise to come back, and we're going to chat about that one.
Okay.
Yes,
that is going to be serious.
We'll do a full feature.
Yeah, I've got 8 books right now the Green Guru guys with McGraw-Hill. So it's everything from solar to electric cars.
So what are we talking about today? I know we met in Detroit at the auto show there. We've got the New York Auto Show that is it going
I
on
just
now?
I was there. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Okay.
It was awesome.
So you choose. You want to tell us, want to talk a little bit more about green cars?
Sure.
All right.
No problem with that one.
Go for it.
Well, to say the least, an example is when I walked through Toyota, now the single car didn't have a hybrid sign on it.
Nice.
Okay. And believe it or not, Fiat has an electric car coming out.
I know, yeah. But that's the Fiat 500e, but it's available only in California.
It's a compliance car.
Now.
That's the one I was tweeting you about.
Yeah, for now, but Chrysler's now following me on Twitter, so we'll have a chat.
Oh, good. And you know what, Seth? I made it a point to meet as many of the higher-ups over there because that's my car. I went and I test drove a Fiat 500, and I said, I want the E, and he goes, it's only available in California. I said, you're going to make an exception.
We'll chat with them on Twitter on that.
All right.
Everybody stay tuned.
Let me chime in.
Wait a minute. Let me just say that we all want one, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I want the Cabriolet. Thank you very much.
I want the Mercedes or the BMW Active-E.
Oh, yeah. That BMW is pretty darn cute. Yeah.
I want the BMW Active-E. That's looking pretty good. But, you know, I'm not afraid, though, of them give me that Ford Focus electric, and then a Ford C-Max.
Meg had one for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I'm not scared.
Why should you be, Seth? Why should you be?
Anytime they want, you know?
But why should you be scared?
Yeah, but, I mean, there were a lot of different new companies just stepping up like I've never seen before. Lincoln's got the hybrid. 48 miles per gallon, I think, the Lincoln MKZ.
They had to do something because Cadillac overtook them by leaps and bounds.
Oh.
So Lincoln had
Cadillac's
to do something.
Cadillac's going to tear them up now because they got that car. It's like it's about time. Bill Moore and I from EV World and I were standing there in Detroit looking at the thing and we go, they should have done this first.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the Chevy Volt first. Come on, Jim.
You know,
what's up?
You know what? It's,
you know, and now,
they're ramping up, Seth. You know, they got to ramp up a little.
Thank goodness they are, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is a good thing.
I'm happy that the car companies are finally starting to wake up.
Now, you know
Porsche,
what?
I think, is doing a plug-in hybrid.
Wow.
Ford is?
Really? Porsche?
Oh,
yeah,
Porsche.
I know. Believe it or not, they're
Porsche.
Taking the Panamera and they're going to do a hot. They got a couple of cars they're doing hybrids on. And I'm going to be starting to write stories about, and you'll see it on my site. But they also now, I heard, and I verified, they have a plug-in hybrid.
Wow. Now, Seth.
That's going to be launching.
I have two.
And Porsche is not compromising speed.
Well, because that would compromise identity, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
going to
also include efficiency in the whole thing.
Okay.
Well, remember when we were at the, in Detroit, who was it Maserati?
The Maserati. You couldn't even step up onto the platform.
I wanted to smack that guy because I didn't have a business card. I'm like, are you kidding me?
The PR guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he loved us.
I have his business card.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but we had a really funny interaction with him about, you know, Mizar said, do you have a green car? And he goes off on this whole story about how they designed a special green car for Peter Sellers. because it was the color green, and then we were like, no, we meant
It was very funny. It was very funny. But Seth, I want to ask you two things, and please do not forget to give us your website, the correct website.
GreenLivingGuide.com.
Thank you.
GreenLivingGuide.com.
And we'll put that on our site,
okay,
too.
And the other thing, Seth, that I wanted to ask you is, okay, so you've got this Twitter account, you've got Fiat following you, and with the advent of all of this new electric hybrid technology, how much of a difference do you think people chiming in through social media has made with these car companies?
It's a great question. Just after Detroit, after Amanda and I were emailing each other, you remember Amanda Farrar from Detroit?
Yeah, yeah.
We were emailing each other, and I said, you know what, let's blow this up. I said, go ask, because she goes, I'm getting something with Porsche, because I want a Porsche. And I said, do me a favor, get them to friend you, and then get them to friend me, and then ask them what they're doing to make their cars greener.
Okay.
And then they started following me. And
okay.
We started having a conversation with them online.
Now, can I just say that I need your help, Seth, because I'm actually looking for a car, and apparently I need you to help me get a car.
We can talk offline.
Yeah, I know.
about that, for sure.
But, Fiat 500Es.
These guys are listening. They're listening. They know social media is the new media. I mean, let me tell you something. When I see on, and this is kind of goes to where you're hitting, I know on Morning Joe on MSNBC, everybody sees them smacking social media, and
because it competes with them on television. Television is a dying. It's a dying art. Listen, I was a TV news anchor for 25 years.
And we're not just a fly on the wall.
No,
we're really not.
Who's that? Wait, who's the guy from Ford that is having such an incredible?
Scott Money.
Scott Money's having like an incredible impact with Ford using social media.
Social media.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm sure they're paying him well.
Conversations with people online about what you want to talk about. Like I told Scott Monty on Google Plus, we were talking about the EcoBoost engine, and I said to him in a separate conversation online, you know, I learned more for you about the EcoBoost on Google Plus than I did on any Ford presentation you ever had me go to.
Yeah. Because they don't know how to present it yet. Yeah, and they can't present it
now,
very
Seth,
well yet.
We must either get you in the studio or get you on a feature call for 15 minutes.
Or I got a better one.
What's yours, girl?
As a passenger in our new Fiat.
Oh, there you go. Okay. we'll do a segment with a camera.
Fiat. Yeah. Yes, the new passenger in yours.
Yes, exactly.
I'm telling you, I want that activated.
Yeah, I think I could go with you with that one. Let's work on that one for GD Meggie.
Oh, all right.
The other one
lofty people,
everybody wants a Tesla.
Yeah.
It just got announced today, ladies and gentlemen, Detroit Electric wants to compete with the Tesla Roadster.
Uh-oh. No, really?
Well, that's fun. That's good.
That's good.
That's good for us.
That's really good.
All right,
Detroit
Seth.
Old Detroit Electric wants to build a $100,000-plus sports car that will compete in look and feel and drive to Tesla.
I'm in.
I think it's going to bring the prices down.
They have to send one to me. That's all I can say. All right, listen.
More competition. You think Elon Musk is afraid of Detroit Electric? I mean, no. And he's like, bring it. Bring it. You only add more to the market share and reduce my costs so I can sell the car.
Keep doing what you're doing, dude. You're helping us all out, and we're going to be in touch with you soon to get you, you know, in for a little bit more time,
and
okay?
And then we'll get you your low rider.
Ooh, yeah. Low rider.
There we go.
Thanks for calling in, Seth. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great one, ladies.
You too.
Take it easy.
Bye.
We'll be in touch.
Green Living Guy. Bye-bye.
Green Living Guy. Bye-bye.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Why?
He's funny.
He is, but you know, it's funny. When I met him in Detroit, I thought, oh, who is this guy? What's he doing? And he doesn't come off as somebody who has the impact that he does.
Oh, he does. He's
because
huge.
He's such an affable guy.
And I don't mean physically
mean
huge.
Fat.
Yeah, I don't mean that. No, he's... And so it was very flattering to me when we physically met him at the table, and he looked and said, oh, my God, you're Green Diva Meg.
Right.
I was very flattered because I know he's a pretty big wheel out there in cyber digital fun space.
Okay, good. Seth, you're coming back if you're listening, okay?
All right. He's good. Now, let's talk about tea. Earl Grey, our buddy Earl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our buddy Earl.
Last week, I was sitting there staring at my teacup. Because I always, in daylight hours, have a cup full of some form of Earl Grey tea. Because I have green Earl Grey.
Can I ask a question?
Raspberry Earl Grey. Yeah.
Just a quick question. When my mom drinks too much tea, she gets constipated.
That's never happened to me.
Okay.
Never
sorry.
Happened to me either, though.
Yeah.
Never.
No, never. I drink a lot of water. I also drink a lot of water in between. Yeah. I force myself. So, you know, consequently, I spend a lot of time, you know, peeing. But besides that, you know, it's good. It's all good. And, you know. We interviewed Ed Begley Jr. the first time, and he was driving cross country, and we said something about caffeine. He said, no, ladies, I run on tea. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm a tea person too. And I said, why are you? And he said, because the buzz is different. It's a mellower buzz. It doesn't make you crazy, but it keeps you awake. And I'm like, I'm all about that.
But there is caffeine in tea.
Oh, yeah. But it's different.
It's different.
It is different. It burns different. That's the way he described it was the best I've ever heard it described. I'll have to go back and find. I don't think I have that podcast, by the way. That wasn't.
We'll get him back on the air.
That was actually when I was doing the magazine. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I don't know where my love of Earl Grey started. I think it was the summer I was in England with my sister before I met the wild and crazy Englishman later who horrified me by drinking Lipton tea. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
That's
sinful.
What kind of Englishman are you?
That's sinful.
Well, especially because in having done this research, the tea bags are made with what they call the fanning or the dust of the tea, all the leftover broken leaves.
That's kind of cool.
It is cool, but that's the cheap stuff.
Oh, you mean that's what those tea bags?
No, yeah, the tea bags.
I thought you meant the tea bags. Okay.
No. The tea itself it comes from the fanning.
So we're all learning about tea. All three of us decided we would just kind of take a type of Earl Grey and research it and see where does it come from.
Yeah.
Because I know that tea is one of those commodities that really should be fair trade. You know, because they're made in countries. In places
developing
that
are
vulnerable to, you know, unfair, I want to say slave, but you know what I mean.
Well, yes.
Unfair employment practices.
Yeah. You meant you want to say slave labor? I think it probably existed for a while. And maybe in some cases.
But I think
it still does.
With the advent of fair trade and the greater awareness people have, it's changing, and I kind of wanted to push that envelope a little bit, which is why I decided on the couple of brands that we each took, because I knew that, you know, they weren't all going to measure up. Like Twinings, you did Twinings, right?
I did Twinings. Twinings of London. So I decided to call the company, particularly because I had a couple boxes of their tea in my room. One was a chai-based, and the other, I think it was English breakfast, but I've had their Earl Grey before. And it was a really touchy phone call.
I set you up, babe.
I mean, in general, she was helpful when I asked, you know, where is the tea grown? They said it's all over the world. They get it from Sri Lanka, China, some from Poland even.
Yeah.
And it's all processed in England.
Yeah.
And then sent over here. But, you know, and they do have fair trade and organic options. Some of their tea is certified in both, but they have a ton of conventional teas. I mean, just the fact that they are going more green is good, but not all of their tea is green.
Right. I mean, you know, Twinings is probably one of the most popular in this country, English tea companies.
Yes, exactly.
We don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but we did, you know, all do a lot of research. You were on Celestial Seasonings.
And I was surprised.
Yeah.
And somewhat, I guess in the end, disappointed.
Yeah.
And Celestial Seasonings. I like the story of Celestial Seasonings.
Yeah.
40 years ago, they started drying these things in their in the barn and hand processing and doing all that. And the owner at that time would go grocery store to grocery store in Colorado, and he would ask, would you put my tea on your shelves?
Yep.
And that's how he got started. So, and I think he had the Red Zinger, which I've never really liked. But
I like the Red Zinger.
I don't know. There's something
I've
weird.
I've never had that kind.
I like those original, like the Wild Berry is like my favorite. Wild Berry Zinger is
my
favorite.
Celestial
Seasonings.
I think tea for me has to be tea.
Well, that's only at night, you know, because I don't do the caffeine at night. But my favorite tea, the one I researched, was Paisley.
Yeah.
Paisley Tea Company, which is a two leaves tea company.
Let me just finish saying.
I'm sorry.
The thing that was disappointing about Celestial Seasonings was that they do use pesticides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Twinings too.
That you know, you want to be sustainable, but I guess there's got to be a good balance.
And they
somehow
weren't fair trade certified. So the tea that I use, which is reasonably priced, which I really, one of the things I like is organic fair trade tea tends to be expensive, but this Paisley is like very reasonable, and they're kosher, they're fair trade, they're all kinds of groovy stuff, and their packaging is kind of cool. And the Numi was another one that jumped in because yesterday they just happened, you know, to, that was like press release at the right time kind of thing. Anyway, so please go to thegreendivas.com. The whole thing is in there, all kinds of links and information and pricing and pictures and fun stuff.
Yeah.
But, let's get on the air with Betsy. Betsy?
Yeah.
Hi.
Here.
How are you?
I'm great.
Sorry to
be with you.
Yeah, sorry to make you wait a little bit. We're just having a busy show, and we're just moving along. Oh boy!
First thing, Betsy, this is Mizar. How do you pronounce your last name?
Well, Escandon.
Escandon.
It's a Spanish name. Yes. Escandon.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for saying it with the correct accent.
I had to marry to get that. So. You know.
All the cool names, you know.
It's okay. My mom did that too.
Now, I love that you're an eco. You call yourself an eco novice. Now, at this point, you probably aren't, but I like that that's where you're coming from.
I still feel that I am, and I do hope that it's, you know, approachable. That I have that. I hope that it seems accessible to people who are just getting started. And I mean, I still don't compost. And
yeah,
you know, all kinds of things that I feel like every other green person in the universe
does. No, not everybody. There's a lot of things I'm not doing. Trust me, that's why we're green divas. And you know, but I like that your tagline is going green gradually.
Yeah. So how did you start? Where, why, and how did you start?
Well, it was really the birth of my first child, which I know is true for many people.
Yep.
I didn't really even pay attention while I was pregnant at all. In fact, while I was pregnant, I was finishing a public policy program which actually involved me looking at some of these issues and deciding they weren't important. I sort of reassessed later, but you know, we looked at
babies do that,
risk and benefits of certain things like organic foods. We actually talked about that, and we talked about cloth diapers. So a lot of these things I'd already decided, you know, I didn't really need to pay attention to them because I'd sort of looked at them in that context. And then after my first child was born, I mean, I remember him sucking on the floor and sucking on my hair, and I was like, wow, what's in my leave-in conditioner? And then, you know, what is my floor cleaner made of? Is that okay for him to be sucking on that? And I sort of started asking around, like, my sisters and other moms. They're like, oh, yeah, that's when I switched all of my cleaners, and, you know, that's when I started paying attention to stuff like that. And it sort of took me down a rabbit hole. It was totally overwhelming, totally out of control. I mean, I have this newborn baby. I had been a policy researcher, so I knew how to do research online, and I was just on there all the time with the baby on my lap trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing, and it was crazy stuff. I really have mellowed out since then, but it was super overwhelming, and that was the entry point.
And it can be overwhelming, which, like, for instance, you say you don't compost, but I'll bet you know everything there is to know about chemicals in the household.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I know that's sort of. I mean, I consider myself more knowledgeable about toxins and things like that, chemicals in the environment, things that should be regulated for, you know, things
well,
that should,
you know,
fall under the Safe Chemicals Act that hasn't passed yet. Much more than I am. I mean, I really feel like a novice when it comes to like reducing my carbon footprint. I mean, I drive a minivan, you know.
Well, yeah, but step at a time.
I really think that's
sure.
why we're all in this together, which is like sure. the NBC Universal thing I just realized. but no, we really are, because everybody focuses on different things at different times.
Sure.
I really believe that. Like, while you're having babies, you're into a certain, you know, focus, and I'm in a different space, although I have grandbabies now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think for a lot of mothers, and when you're pregnant, even when you're breastfeeding and you know that things are passed through the breast milk, you just feel this, I mean, for me, sometimes it's really a horrible burden. I mean, I'm still breastfeeding and I love it, but sometimes I'm like, oh, just think, in like a year or so, I can take a medicine and not even think about it. Yeah. Won't even have to check online, you know?
You know,
I can
yeah, because
anything in, and it won't matter to anyone but me, you know?
I will say that finding out things and the awareness is a burden, because once you know, it's really hard to do. Like, once you see a chicken, plucked, horrified chicken in a cage, you know, you almost can't. Like, I cannot eat chicken unless I know it was running around in someone's backyard. And
no,
even then, I don't want to eat it.
For that reason, she's not going to read The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah,
I told her all about it. And she's like, you know, I still want to stop in at McDonald's every now and then. I think I'm going to skip that book.
Good advice. Because once you know, man, you just can't do it.
Yeah. Never have eaten conventional beef since I read Omnivore's Dilemma.
Nope.
Also will not eat eggs unless they're cage free.
Right.
I mean, I just can't. After you know
it. It changes your whole perspective on corn. I remember reading
corn?
Yeah. And I was like, corn is in everything. And every animal is just eating corn.
I posted something today that 80% of corn, 80% of corn is now GMO.
Yep. I saw that on the site.
Sure. Yep. I believe it.
Now, tell us, all right, so I got to ask, because you've got babies and little ones. Are you using cloth diapers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
My first was disposables for a year, and then there was this stay. I live in Northern California, and I lived in this kind of brick adobe house, small house that was like a rental that had been, you know, they tried to add a bedroom and a bathroom, had no airflow whatsoever, and it was just like a little sauna in there. And I remember opening his diaper one day and just feeling like a wave of heat come out, and I just thought, man, it cannot be fun to have like impermeable plastic around your private
yeah.
parts like today.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but it is, you know, really the image is, you know, horrifying.
and it like totally filled up our trash every week. It was totally like 99% of our trash. And I actually had a sister who cloth diapered, and she really did it because she's like really frugal, married to a school teacher. And I called her and said, man, do you think I can do this? And she was like, no. Because she knew that like she had kids before I did, and I was the aunt who like never would volunteer to change anybody's diaper, was kind of grossed out.
That's
if like
funny.
Somebody's pee got on my clothes, you know.
That's funny.
And was just like, you know, I had babysat and stuff, but I still to this day I'd never volunteer to change anyone else's.
Well, Betsy,
no, that's
ask
true.
You this.
Yeah,
when
I'm,
you do,
I'm with you on that.
When you do cloth diapers. And there's lots to think about a cloth diaper. Do you send them out and have them delivered? Do you
wash them yourself?
You do. Mm-hmm. And you don't put a plastic pant on them afterwards? Or do you?
Plastic pant. Well, I do sometimes use impermeable covers, like a waterproof cover.
That's what I meant.
That would stop
the
moisture. That's usually around the outside.
Yes.
Whatever your
It looks like a shower. Well, the old ones used to look like shower caps with holes in them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. My mom did some cloth diapering that I remember with the pins.
Yeah. So. Well, you know what? Yes.
Oh, my grandmother pinned my uncle to the diaper, and we heard about it for, you know,
50 years.
Exactly.
Exactly. Do you know what? I tried cloth diapering, and I was a working mom at the time and didn't have time to clean and do laundry and do that kind of laundry. I did have somebody who did my laundry, but I don't know. There's just something about those dirty diapers. And my poor daughter, I put these cloth diapers on her, and I guess they bleached the bejesus out of them and put all sorts of toxic chemicals to make sure, because they're recycled. You're not getting back the same diapers
that you were using.
Have
to use a lot of bleach for the purposes.
So I took, and just like you were horrified with your baby and the heat, when I took this cloth diaper off my daughter, and from the waist down, she looked like she had two big tomatoes in either. She was so red.
Aww.
I was horrified. I didn't know what to do. I mean, it was. I sort of had to go back to the disposables, and it, you know, and with my son, you know, it was like the habit was there. It's terrible. I do have to admit that I failed badly there.
It's a new system to learn, and you can only learn so many new things. It's like, that's why I haven't started composting. I mean, I have a 1-year-old that can barely keep up with her. I just can't start.
Yeah, no,
once you get it, it's easy. Like, for me, cloth diapers I mean, I don't think they take me any more time per week than disposable. And I feel like I can do a fair comparison because I used to do it. Now that I know how to wash them, I know how to deal with them. Like, it's just, it's nothing for me. I do it everywhere. I do it out of the house, everywhere. It's no big deal. But that first entry point where you're like, which diaper should I buy and how should I wash them and what's the right detergent? I mean, it's overwhelming.
Right. Now, do you give folks other tips about entry points? I love that term. Entry points into gradually going green. I mean, what are some of your other tips to folks who are sort of have some trepidation about changing these habits?
Sure, sure. Well, I think there's some easy entry points. I think you want to look at your cleaners. It's like a major cause of child poisoning, for one thing.
Yeah.
So I think you have two options there. Number one, of course, you can make your own. That, people tell me, is super easy, and I know it is. I've, like, bookmarked. I have a post on my website of, like, every do-it-yourself cleaner recipe I've ever bookmarked.
Oh, yeah. I think I've actually referenced your stuff in one of the pieces I did.
But I don't do it all myself because, you know, I got to buy the ingredients and mix it. So what I would say is either just walk into Whole Foods or some other store that's going to carry green cleaning products and pick something.
Yeah, it's a good way to start.
I've had good luck with Seventh Generation, for example. Or my favorite, easiest thing is just buy a big 2-gallon thing of vinegar, and you can use vinegar to clean any surface.
Oh, yeah.
That's to me the easiest green cleaner there.
My house smells like a salad, but I do it.
Yeah. Well, my husband, I've heard people say they don't like the smell of vinegar. My husband
I like
actually
it.
Likes
oh,
it.
Oh, no, I do. I actually like it.
And it dissipates really quickly. I don't find it problematic. And if you, like, cook fish or something, it's kind of nice to have something through that, and everything's gone. So,
but, you know, a little bit of essential oil can also really counteract that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I have never even delved into the essential oil world. I did buy some tea tree oil like a year ago that's still in my
cupboard. Yeah. I started making, and I made some for you for Christmas, Mizar, the foaming soap.
With the Castile.
Yeah.
Oh, yum. Mm. Smells so good.
It's so easy to do. You buy that Dr. Bronner's Castile soap.
I think I even have some of that.
See?
That I've never used.
And a little bit of tea tree oil.
Yeah.
And you know, a bunch of water, and then, like, essential oil if you want a particular flavor. Like, I use lavender.
Oh, this is
lavender.
Like a hand soap.
Yeah, and it's the foaming kind. You can reuse one of those foaming.
It's a glass container with a foaming pump on the top.
Thank you, foaming pump. I'm, like, losing words here. My blah, 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 blah.
I've heard of this. I'm actually sort of trying. My soap, hand soap goal is to switch over to bar soap.
It's so easy.
Soap, but my children are still sort of. You know, I'm just happy if they wash.
You know, here's what I did, and I made it fun with my kids. Is I do soap in a sock. You take an old sock, like a camp sock.
That's a good idea, not so slippery.
And exactly, and if you get a good sock that's like a wool, and it exfoliates, you can put even the slivers in there. I just keep throwing the slivers in there and throwing them in there. And my son, who's 20, had a little bit of a. You know, he's still having a bit of some breakouts. And I said to him, there's antibacterial soap in that soap in a sock. Use it. Well, you know, all cleared up because he exfoliates the skin with the sock, with the antibacterial soap. And it's like, ta-da! But, yeah, stick them in an old sock. I'm sure you've got a couple of orphans out there.
I've seen things about, like, wool-felted soap, which was always, like, nah, I don't. You know,
well, but you know what? You're paying for that.
The sock, a wool sock.
Oh,
you have
wool
socks that have developed, you know, a little hole in the heel.
That's
right. Be the new use.
You just put a knot in it, and then you go.
That's about how easy I need things to be.
Well, that's how I mean, and I did it. Everybody got one in their Christmas stocking.
So you got to go to Betsy's site, which is Eco. Is it eco-novice.com?
Correct, eco-novice.com.
And the greatest thing now, when you go to your site right now, you have a picture of presumably one of your babies sitting on a potty.
Yes, that's my 1-year-old. Yeah.
So cute.
So, I will say that I started early potty training with my second when I was potty training my first at 2.5, was like. He would sit on the potty for 30 minutes and then stand up, put on his underwear, and poop in it. And I was like, this isn't right. Something's wrong. Nature's gone awry here. And I sort of heard about early potty training. So I put my 9-month-old baby on the potty, and she pooped. And that was it. I was like, sold.
I'm doing this.
And so I really actually have had very few poopy diapers with my second and third children. So that's been nice.
My first two were like that, very much like that. They were 18 months apart, so. Whatever the older one did or was trying to do, the younger one had to do and do better.
or vice
really
versa sometimes.
I've heard younger sibs often really interested sooner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Betsy, this has been fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
I love your site. There's a lot going on there. It's eco-novice.com. And we'll put more of that on our website also. And thanks so much for giving us a call.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was good.
That was good.
Yeah, I think, you know,
anytime you can talk about poop, it's good.
Well, it's always all potty people. We are. Oh, dear.
What?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, talk amongst ourselves.
Amongst
okay.
Ourselves.
So, we again, with those poopy diapers.
Yeah.
Well, that's when Megan's got to reach over and push a button.
I know. I know. I lose it.
Where is she? Where does she live? I want to say
I think Santa Monica, California.
Oh, okay. So, she's out west. Okay.
Or somewhere in California. Santa Barbara, Santa something, California.
All right.
But I do agree that so much we have learned over the years, whenever we've talked to people about how they got into this, it almost always is when I had kids. Like, before I had kids, I didn't care what was on my floor. Mm. And then you start to think about it when your kids are crawling in it, or, you know.
I guess that's the way I'm first-generation American, and I come from people who grew up during wartime. So frugality and reusing and using those old-fashioned methods have been something that I had from the very beginning.
Right, you did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I consider myself lucky. But
now, next week, we're going to do a pet focus, and our guest, our featured guest, is Lorenzo Borghese.
Prince Lorenzo Borghese.
Okay, we'll let you say it, because you say it properly, and it just sounds sexier. And he's going to be talking about, he has a organic pet care line called Royal Treatment, which is cute, right?
Yeah,
clever.
That's cute, yeah.
And so we're just going to, I think a lot of the show next week will be about pets.
And he's kind of dishy himself.
Dishy.
Do you know he was once a...
Is he coming to the studio?
You know what? I don't know, because sometimes I'll go to his Facebook, because, you know, just kind of relaxing in, where did I say that?
Yes. Yeah, he was in like
Cabo,
south of France.
Cabo.
Or
no, okay. Relaxing in Cabo. But he's he was once a bachelor, a contestant on The Bachelor.
Get out.
Was he really?
He was.
That's
wow.
So funny.
He was. All right. Borghese,
well,
everybody go look it up. It is B-O-R... G-H-E-S-E. You'll find them there.
All right. Have a great green week. Talk to you soon.
Bye,
Bye-bye.
Y'all.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.